Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Back to more Boston Sports Talk. Gresh and Keith on EEI.
Tatum, step back. Got it! 45 seconds to go in the game. Schroeder. Schroeder off the bounce to the basket. Lays it down, corner shot. Whoa!
Well, it was a win for the Boston Celtics last night. Keith, I know the old sports axiom is a win is a win is a win. And Bill Belichick has even talked about, well, it doesn't matter how you get the win, you just get the win. And yet the Celtics beat the 76ers last night, 89-88, and it went down like cough medicine.
It was rough. I mean, even most cough medicine at this point is better, Gresh. You're thinking of the old school cough medicine. There's some good stuff now. This was tough, but you know what? This might be their best bet. I think, and it's funny, so after Marcus Smart made his comments and called out Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, the results started to improve. Like, yeah, there were still some, you know, hiccups in there. They lost to the Spurs. But the record, really, since then has been a lot better. But ironically, what happened was Marcus Smart started passing more, and the team started playing more defense. So, like, we were so focused on Brown and Tatum passing, and that wasn't really the whole problem. Like, they weren't a very good defensive team the first half of the season. And then since then, they've been locking teams down. And it might not be the most aesthetically pleasing thing to watch, an 88-87 NBA game, especially now where they have changed how we view basketball. Like, I was getting used to the 120s to 115s. It's a little bit more fun flying up and down the court. But again, this Celtics team isn't a great shooting team. So if they just want to get into a shootout with teams, aren't they going to lose most of those games?
I agree. And I actually gave each team an extra point, which made the game sound better at 88-89.
Nope, 88-87.
It was 88-87.
But they have to win defensively, I think.
I think you and I don't want to say we're green teamers. We are. Like, we
That's
like
fine.
This team.
Yeah.
We like the Jays.
I'm a Celtics fan.
We want this team to win, but yet they're supposed to be a trending upward. They're supposed to be a, you feel like they're getting better. And last night it was Tatum. I give him credit. He hit a big shot. Dennis Schroeder looks like Rajon Rondo driving to the cup.
He did. He had a great shot at the end of the game, but then he also followed that up with, like, oh, because I made that last one, I'm not going to pass on this possession and take a fall away shot that was like, what?
Not good.
And so that was a problem because that could have salted the game away. You would have at least liked to see Tatum get a touch. Maybe not Brown so much the way he was shooting last night, but at least get Tatum involved in that last possession. They didn't. And then the game kind of fittingly ended with a little Time Lord block.
Love it.
You know, a defensive play, which, again, I think they're going to have to grind teams down because they don't have these great sharpshooters. And until Tatum and Brown start to shoot better, they really don't have a good shooting team.
So last night, Tatum, 26 points, 16 rebounds, 2 assists.
And 16 rebounds are career high. too, by the way.
Yeah. He was great on the glass. Now, I admit, I got up this morning and I watched probably like the last 10 minutes of the fourth quarter just to kind of get the feel of, because really, I have had a longstanding theory that in most NBA games, if you just watch the fourth quarter, you've probably seen everything that you need to see.
How dare you? You need to start from the opening tap.
And apparently Jason Tatum's ears are on, because after the Celtics got the win, Jason Tatum decided to go Barry Horowitz, the wrestler who used to stand in the ring and pat himself on the back.
Yep.
Jason Tatum complimented himself after the game.
I seen a report the other day that said I was a selfish player. That seems pretty unselfish of me. But, you know, whatever it takes for us to win, you know, I guess more often than not, it's going to be in my hands. But we play 82-some games in the regular season. You know, it's going to be certain nights where, you know, you might need to space the floor, take the best defender away out the action, and see what we get.
Yeah, see, I still think he doesn't really care about winning. Like, I mean, I don't think that makes it sound like he doesn't care at all. I think if you're a professional athlete, you obviously want to win. Like, there's a sort of a baseline of, like, you want to win. But if you're going to tell me that, you know, Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant wanted to win the same amount as, like, a, you know, I guess in this case, Jason Tatum, or find another player, no. No, like, there's definitely varying degrees. Some players would kill somebody just for an NBA title. Others wouldn't. And whatever. And I think part of the problem is maybe even, you know, the league. You know, you're making $30 million and everybody's telling you how great you are. If you lose a game, they're not taking away the $30 million, and they're probably also not going to take away your all-NBA or telling how great they are. Because it's interesting, like, for him to say that. And again, he did the post-game interview on the court with Abby after the game as well. He was available for that.
Well, they won.
And no, but he had 26 and 16.
Oh, that's, there you go.
Let's see how many games he has 8 points or 12 points or even 20, but he shoots 3 of 17 like Joel Embiid did. If one of those kind of games, is he still willing to talk and talk about how good it is? So I don't know. I think it's not just the winning. It's his stats are good in a win. Then it's like, see, I'm all about winning. It's like, well, yeah, in this scenario, I don't think he's there yet. It doesn't mean that can't change.
No, I agree with you, because he's so young, and you wonder how he's been infected over the past couple of years with the NBA mentality. And he played great. He did a fantastic job last night. But you're right. Like, the thing that I wanted to hear from him wasn't the, oh, people are out there criticizing me individually and saying I'm selfish. He should be pissed off. Really. He should be pissed off that someone said you're not about winning. And then he's got the spot, and he's got the chance right there. And it was, well, that came across as pretty unselfish. How about I want to win, and I want to win at all costs? Because that's what we're waiting for. Because you had mentioned it, and you talked about the greats of the great, right? Like Michael Jordan. He would stab your mother if they were sitting underneath the basket to get a win.
Correct.
You think, like, Kobe Bryant came across that way.
Larry Bird.
And I know I'm big. Larry Bird, right? Yeah. And with Jason Tatum, it's the, oh, people are telling me that I'm this and that. How about F you, I want to win. Don't ever write it again that I don't want to win. That would make me happy.
Yeah, I know. He did actually have one kind of self-deprecating thing in the post game where I think Abby complimented, like, his offensive game, or he had like 11 points in the fourth quarter. And he said something like, well, it couldn't have been worse than last game. Or he said something like that, which was like, all right, a little bit of a, because normally he's the, you know, everybody says I'm good. I know I'm good. I've played basketball a long time. I think it's been a lot of those comments. I've been playing basketball a certain way a long time, so I don't need Marcus Smart talking to me. It's been a lot of that. But the other thing that stood out about the game, Gresh, is they really do own Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid was 3 of 17 from the floor. It was like one of his 5 worst shooting games of all time. Another one of the 5 worst was also against the Celtics. They do a good job against him, and right now that's pretty much a one-man team. And so if you do happen to, then going into last night, they had the exact same record. So if you do play Philly down the road, I still feel good about that particular matchup.
I do too, and especially with, hey, the doctor's here.
Oh, the good doctor over there, yeah.
And they're counting on Tobias Harris, who appears to be a smidge overrated. Now maybe
I gotta get my larynx fixed.
There you go. Gotta go get my larynx fixed.
So another thing too is Al Horford for Kemba Walker looks like the deal of the offseason, because Horford's playing defense. And again, the expectations are low on Horford now. It's not like when you first signed him for a max deal. So the expectations are low, but he is anchoring the defense. He's good enough on offense. And oh, by the way, Kemba Walker no longer plays for the Knicks. He's on the team. Tom Thibodeau's like, yeah, he's out the rotation. He's not very good anymore. So to be able to swap Kemba for Al Horford is that's a nice Brad Stevens move right out of the chute.
Oh, it is. That's a Danny Ainge move right out of the Ainge playbook. And remember, initially we thought, okay, maybe he was the guy who was the issue in the locker room, and maybe that isn't necessarily the case, but good God almighty. Like, when Tom Thibodeau looks at you and is like, yeah, you're not good enough to be in the rotation.
Yeah, I think now it's probably proven out that Brad saw that more as a roster construction move and less as a he's a problem. Like, by all accounts, Kemba's like the greatest dude in the world, but it was like, we can't play back-to-backs. You're not the player that you were. Defensively, we're a mess because you're another one of these small guards, and it's not even your fault, but you can't defend. And you bring Horford in, who's a big man who likes to pass. That's exactly – and play defense. Like, that was exactly what this team needed. And you could tell he also loves playing with Rob Williams. He loves not being the only big man on the floor. I think it takes pressure off of him. And the two of them playing together has actually worked pretty well.
I don't know how many threes Al hit last night, but two for three. Makes him one of the better three-point shooters on the Celtics,
yes,
given the way they've shot the basketball this year. Don't forget today at 1:30, Michael Irvin, the playmaker, is going to make a play and talk about players making plays with us at 1:30 today here with Gresh and Keefe. All right, it's Razor time.
Hey, let's go.
There's going to be a lot of traffic on the way to the game.
Don't worry. I got Bruins plates. People get out of our way.
Au revoir. Have a good game.
Great plates. I want them too. Are you even old enough to drive?
Let's puck it up with our friend Andrew Raycroft of Nesson, brought to us by Brennan's Smoke Shop. Brennan's has 9 locations in Massachusetts and just opened their newest shop in Hudson, New Hampshire. Visit Brennan's for the best selection of cigars. Andrew Raycroft joins us on the Harbor One Hotline. Razor, has your mom ever come to your defense the way Jake DeBrusk's mom has apparently tried to, I don't know, clap back at some of us big meanie media people who are hooting on her son?
No, fortunately, Twitter was not a thing when I was playing in the league, or it was at the beginning when I was ending. So my mom did not jump on Twitter and protect me or defend me. She would have. If she could have, I'm sure there's many times when people were saying mean things about me. I'm sure it was affecting her and my parents. And literally, as a player, that's the worst, right? When you know it's affecting everybody else in your family, what's going on, that's a bad feeling.
Were you ever on a team where a player publicly demanded, requested, or whatever word you want to use, a trade?
Absolutely. Yeah, and there's plenty, and every team I was on had two or three guys that had already asked for trades, or you knew they wanted out of there, or they were ready to get out of there. So this isn't a big deal for the players. The players have known Jake DeBrusk wanted off the team for months, and probably knew about his deal, what was going on last season. So the idea, and that's the one thing with the tweet and the going back and forth, the idea that Jake DeBrusk is being a bad teammate because his other teammates have to go out and talk about this. There's two points. One, you're going to ask all the other teammates anyways, so they're going to have to talk about it anyways, whether Jake DeBrusk goes out and talks about it or not. And two, the other guys don't care. We all recognize it's a business. As long as Jake DeBrusk is showing up and working hard every day and trying to do the best he can, whether they want to go somewhere else, it's really a pretty common thing in pro sports that there's 24 guys. Not all of them are going to be happy with everybody.
Andrew Raycroft of Nesson talking pucks with Gresh and Keefe. Brad Marchand has been suspended for the old slew foot. And as Keefe and I talked yesterday, Razor, you know, Marshy isn't going to be one of those guys that is going to get cut any slack from the NHL front office. What do you make of this latest Marchand incident and suspension?
I don't think much of the incident. I didn't even really recognize it, to be honest, watching the game. I didn't think anything of it. The suspension, I do understand how you're not getting away from your past in this league, especially. It's always going to come back. He's had two other suspensions for slew foot. So when things come up, Brad Marchand's never going to get any slack cut, to your point. The NHL is never going to let him off the hook. He's always going to be the guy that goes over the edge with suspensions from the NHL. So it's disappointing. It doesn't really deserve three games in this vacuum, but in the whole picture, you look back at his career, he's suspended six times in the NHL. That's a lot. And I know he's played a long time at this point now, but that's what they look at is that pass, and he's always going to get one or two more games than everybody else was for the same incident.
I consider myself a big Bruce Cassidy fan. I love how honest he is. I love, you know, everything he does. Like when we've had the chance to interview him or just listening to him post game, I think he's been great. And the team's obviously been very good under him as well. This year, though, it seems like maybe the team's not as good. He's been calling out a lot of players a lot of the time. How, as a player, do you react to that? Because it's one thing when the team was rolling and it'd be every so often that a player needed, you know, maybe light a fire under him. But this year, it seems like he's gone to that tactic an awful lot.
It seems like he has. And I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago where I was watching and waiting to see how it progresses, because I think he was doing it early in the season, not a lot of games, keep everybody, you know, keep pushing on everybody to get through those 4, 5, 6 days break with intensity. And I think it is difficult to do that over an 82-game season, to keep sending messages, right? We hear him talk about sending messages, and it's hard to do that 82 times with two or three different guys and putting guys on the ninth floor and not allowing them to play through things at certain times. So I think there is a fine line with that from the coaching staff. And to your point, the Bruins have been so good under Bruce Cassidy the whole time that he hasn't had to do it a lot. And now they haven't come out of the gates the way everybody wants. They're still 11-8. They're in a fine position, but it does get tedious if you're sending messages four times a week to different players. Like we just talked about, it's easy to get guys to not like the situation, and you need more than two-thirds of those guys being happy.
Are the captains not in control of the room that Bruce Cassidy, Razor, has to go to those lengths to try to either call people out or motivate them?
No, not at all. You're never going to – I will never, ever question a room with Brad Marchand and Patrice Bergeron, captain. Patrice is in charge of everything. No one is more respected throughout the entire league than Patrice Bergeron. And when you interview guys and they talk about how perfect he is, that's really how everyone thinks of him and how much he's given the game, how much he works at the game on a daily basis, and how much respect he gives all other players, especially on his team. So no, there's no way the captains are losing job. There's guys struggling, and Bruce Cassidy is doing what he's doing to try and get them to play better individually.
Well, this morning on the Greg Hill Show, they had Mike Milbury on, and Wiggy, I think for maybe the third or fourth year in a row, brought up the idea of trading Patrice Bergeron. And now, Milbury didn't laugh at the suggestion, though, and because he referred to them. It was very doom and gloom this morning, if you listen to that. And Milbury referred to them as like a playoff wannabe. And so I guess the question would be, if this team is trending like they're not even going to make the playoffs, let alone be a cup contender, do you have to consider all options, including maybe moving on from two of your older stud players in order to reboot the team?
Not in a million years. If I'm in charge, no, doesn't make any sense at all. You talk about culture and you talk about the Bruins, that culture that they've had for so long, and it goes to one guy, and that's Patrice. So no, you're not trading Patrice Bergeron anywhere. It's crazy. They do have to get better. They do have to get everybody playing better and playing to their potential. And obviously with the Jake DeBrus thing, there seems to be a move coming sooner or later when it comes to that to resolve things. There's no way that I'm trading Patrice Bergeron, though. That doesn't do any, you know, what are you getting back for? Are you getting Connor McDavid back for him? Maybe then, but beyond that, getting back that's going to be better for this team?
Andrew Raycroft with us. Andrew, you were a goalie in the NHL for a long time. If you heard your general manager say what Don Sweeney said the other day about Tuca and the whole, well, if he's going to play, he's likely to join us. How is that not a mind screw? Help me out. How are these goalies in Swayman and Linus not sitting there thinking, well, it's just a matter of time before Tuca's going to come in and then I'm porked?
Well, one, you like to think that you can compete with Tuukka. You can compete with an old goaltender or coming off hip surgery. That's the first thought. I think in Jeremy Swayman's case, he looks at it and understands that his future is real bright in this team and in this organization, in this league. And he's just working every day to stay here and get better and develop. Linus Allmark, on the other hand, has a big contract that he just signed. So he's not looking over his shoulder for – he just got $20 million. So they both have to work on their game. They both understood that Tuukka was going to be here and working out and getting better and using the rink and was going to be around. So they knew that. I'm sure it's a little difficult at times and a little awkward possibly where you're just trying to work on your game. But, listen, there's always somebody coming up there, whether it's a kid in the AHL who's lighting the world on fire down there and you're struggling at the NHL level. You understand who's around and what's going on throughout the business. And as a goaltender, you know there's always that third guy. There's always that fourth guy pushing for your job. There's only 60 of these jobs in the whole world. There's tons of guys pushing for it. They knew Tuukka was going to be around. It wasn't like they just threw Tuukka out here in the middle. You know, Tuukka retired, and then all of a sudden come Christmas, oh, Tuukka's coming back. Everyone knew what the deal was going to be.
We're roughly at the quarter point of the season, and they have split pretty even, 10 games, 9 games for the two goalies. What would your letter grade be for each guy? I can't imagine it's separated by much.
No, it would be the same, right? Give them a B.
Yeah.
Would be my grade for both guys. They haven't been bad. They haven't been horrible. They haven't cost this team any wins. There hasn't been one game where I was like, wow, that was so bad. Like, they gave up 5 goals in the first period, and they had no chance. The games they've lost the last few times at home that have been disappointing, they've been tied or they've had the lead going into the third period, and they haven't been able to hang on at the end. But on the other hand, they haven't won a game where they got outshot 42-16. That happened the other night on Tuesday against Detroit. They haven't had one of those big stolen victories from their side as well. So they're right in the middle. That B number seems to be about right for me.
So for those of you who are not familiar with the Tickle Trunk, when we asked Andrew Raycroft about Halloween, he said he had to go to the Tickle Trunk to be able to look for some costumes. So now the Tickle Trunk has become a thing that Andrew will now stuff a player into or put a line of players into. Like last week, the Tickle Trunk can be good, the Tickle Trunk can be bad. So Razor, who is in the Tickle Trunk this week and for what reason?
Well, we had a lot of options, and I refrained from going doom and gloom, like you said, what was going on this morning. It feels like been the last few days. You know, we could put a COVID coach in there. We could put a player asking for a trade, but I'm not going to go that way. I'm going to go right down the middle. So this week, not too negative, not too positive. David Pastrnak. With Brad Marchand out of the lineup for 2 more games, David's got 3 goals in 4 games. 4 points in 4 games. I feel like he's heating up, and I also feel like this team needs him to heat up. And I mean breakout 5 goals in 3 games, 6 goals in 4 games, that kind of a breakout. I feel that coming. David Pastrnak in the Tickle Trunk this week.
Ooh, all right.
There we go. A little pasta.
So,
he needs to be better.
He needs to be better. Hall's there. They need to be great. He needs to score to get through this team through the next couple games.
Good stuff, Razor. Thank you, friend. We appreciate it. We'll catch you next week.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Have a good week.
Thanks, Razor.
Andrew Raycroft of Nesson joining us on the Harbor One Hotline. He's with us each and every Thursday at 11:10, breaking down everything Bruins. We'll get to some football next, but first, no Scheim today. Apparently ate some bad cheese, according to the words on the street.
You play that charcuterie roulette. You never know what you're
going to
happen.
That is something I will never play. Would you play charcuterie roulette?
Of course.
With different cheeses?
Oh, I love cheese. Yeah. I'm all about cheese.
Oh, all right.
Big cheese guy.
Did you guys notice that cheese has shrunk with shrinkflation? Did you know? Take a look at my Instagram. I bought cheese last night, American cheese. It doesn't fit the bread. It's
shrunk,
smaller.
Huh?
It shrunk. It does not fit
the
bread.
Or did you buy big bread?
No, it's market basket bread. They don't have big slices. It's normal
bread.
So
you get the standard cheese, but they've gone small on
it. It's smaller. They charge you the same price. It's just less cheese.
It's not less cheese. If you're buying it by the pound, it's still a pound of cheese.
What weighs more, Rich? A pound of feathers or a pound of bricks?
Ah, it's got to be the bricks, John. The onions and the bricks.
I didn't even think of it. Forget it. It's small, though, man. The guy cut it small.
Exclusive home of Red Sox baseball. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by New England Ford. It's time to get holiday ready with Ford, America's best-selling brand. See your New England Ford dealers. What are you saying? Middle of the reads, Spaz. See your New England Ford dealers today for their best offers of the season and get ready to create some holiday magic for you and yours. You may go ahead, Spaz.
Here's what's trending on WEI and WEI.com.
Cut small cheese.
Like, well, what? I didn't think of it that way. Listen, I'm not that smart. A pound is a pound no matter what, right? A pound of feathers weighs the same as a pound of cheese. Yeah, I get it.
That's what we were just talking about.
Okay. The Patriots safety, Kyle Duggar, he tested positive for COVID. He may or may not play. We'll keep you updated on that for the Bills game. J.C. Jackson is named the AFC Defensive Player of the Month for November. Mac Jones, Offensive Rookie of the Month for November. Major League Baseball is officially locked out. The Red Sox, they bounced Hunter Renfrow. They traded him to Milwaukee for Gresh's ex-wife and two prospects and Jackie Bradley. It's like the same thing. Milton's Dick Mountain is coming back to Boston. The Sox signed pitcher Rich Hill to a one-year deal. The Celtics beat the 76ers 88-87 last night at the Garden. Mac Jones' girlfriend, Sophie Scott, was at the game. She got on the floor. She had a little bit of fun with some of her buddies. And then she posted a tweet about Mac winning the AFC Rookie of the Month. The Bruins take on the Raptors tonight. Puck drops at 8. I skipped this. The Celtics play tomorrow night. They have the Jazz in Utah. Tip-off is at 9. That's what's trending on WEI and WEI.com.
An award for J.C. Jackson, and it's time to go inside Bill Belichick's comments about Josh Allen, quarterback of the Bills. That's next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Selling a little? Or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Did you know you can watch Gresh and Keefe?
This is so sobering when I say this. I'm a 46-year-old man.
Just go to weei.com/watch or twitch.tv/BostonWEEI.
Get in some pigskin here at 11:30 with Gresh and Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. As I sit in the bowels of Gillette Stadium, I see Matt Slater is at the podium as the midweek press conference is. Have we gotten any more, Keefe, alleged inside info from people telling us that Josh McDaniels was headed to Notre Dame while he was giving a press conference at Gillette Stadium?
No, that might have been a swing of the miss in the old texter. I would say about 1% of the intel you do get is true. So you got to kind of, you know, figure everything out. But it was pretty easy to debunk that one yesterday.
Yeah, you got to sort through that one. J.C. Jackson, the AFC Defensive Player of the Month. And I know that we talked about it last hour with Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network. And, I mean, look, if you're... This further to me cements the franchise tag being used by the Patriots on him. However, Rodney Harrison joins Marloni and Fourier each and every Wednesday here on the WEEI Sports Radio Network and anytime anywhere on the Odyssey app. And Rodney had some thoughts on J.C. Jackson's future contract.
He minimum for him on a 4-year deal is 4 years, $60 million, if I'm his agent. That's minimum, $15 million a year. That's minimum. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's the starter. And if I were the Patriots, if I believed in him, and I said this at the beginning of the season, I would have went to him, you know, a year ago and probably tried to give him $8 to $10 million a year or something like that, and extended him. But
what I'm hearing is he's probably not going to be a Patriot next year unless they franchise
well, that's fine.
Him.
I mean, I'm okay with that. I mean, you know, I'm okay. He's done his thing. He had a lot of success. He contributed to our organization. Hey, keep it moving. Get paid, and you know, keep playing great football.
See, I disagree with Rodney. I'm not okay with that. I don't see why you want to just move on from him. Like, what? You don't want to pay the guy? So cornerback is an important position. Maybe the second or third most important position, especially the way football is played today. Mm-hmm. And, again, all of the great Patriots teams have always had a great corner. And one of the reasons why you didn't give Stephon Gilmore an extension, I assume, is because you thought J.C. Jackson was both really good and you wanted to spend some money that way. So if you move on from J.C. Jackson, what do you have? Jalen Mills, Jonathan Jones coming off an injury, Juwan Williams, the draft, free agency, Sean Wade. Yeah, good one. No, if J.C. Jackson was 30 years old, I think you have a lot better argument to say, all right, you played great here, it was a good relationship for both, but we're going to move on. You might still have people complaining about it, but at least then you're like, he's 30. He's 26. He's 26, and you can probably only count on one hand the corners that are better than him in the league. So you have to pay that position, Gresh. So I hope in a 4-year deal is his age 26, 27, 28, 29 season. A 4-year deal, he's not even a 30-year-old corner yet. That's what I hope they do.
Yeah, this is interesting because they need him, and I'd like the guy to stay here. Now, I don't think it's going to get to $20 million a year or anything crazy like that. However, there's a good and the bad of using the franchise tag if you're the Patriots. You can franchise him and then say it's eight. Say we'll just use flat numbers. It's $18 million next year. That money is guaranteed. You sign that tag, you're guaranteed to get that dollar amount. And then J.C. Jackson goes out and has a great year, and the agent doesn't negotiate that you can't franchise him again. I could definitely see the Patriots doing it a second year, although I do think that this, you know, this guy's going to want to bounce, but at what point do the Patriots maybe look at it and say, if we can draft somebody on the other side that's cheap, that we've got to pay the going rate? Because if you franchise tag him, you're saying the floor
right
for the negotiation is $18 million.
Yeah, definitely. And I just think that corners are expensive. They just are. Look at all these deals around the league. One that was signed back last year, Marlon Humphrey for the Ravens, who's great. He signed a 5-year, $97.5 million contract extension, $66 million guaranteed. Now, when he signed it, he was younger than J.C. Jackson. Mm-hmm. So maybe you would say you can't really argue for the fifth year. But I just feel like if they didn't have J.C. Jackson and they moved on from Stephon Gilmore, and then J.C. Jackson was a free agent from another team playing as well as he has been, they would probably be intrigued. The fact that they spent as much money on Stephon Gilmore as they did, who was good, but I don't think we considered him a top five corner when they acquired him. He was good, and he came in with a much higher pedigree as a first-round pick versus an undrafted kid in Jackson. Mm-hmm. But doesn't knowing that Jackson fits in your system and knowing that he's good here, like you know exactly how to use him, that should be pretty beneficial. So, man, I really hope they keep him. And Bill has given money to guys, like the whole, oh, the Patriots are cheap. That's wrong. Like, that's not true. Sometimes they take you up to the last day, but they made Devin McCourty, Logan Mankins, Vince Wilfork, and I think even Gerard Mayo, for the moment they signed, were the highest paid at their position. I think Mayo's got, you know, trumped like the next day or whatever, but I think each guy at one point, and they all kind of butted heads with the team, more, you know, Mankins and Wilfork more so, but even McCourty a few years ago, they said, hey, go test the market, and then he came back and he's like, yeah, I think it was Tennessee's offering me this, and they're like, all right, so we had to top it. So they will spend the money, and I just think it's such a huge position of need and importance that a multi-year deal I think would be the best.
This is the only player you would consider franchise tagging, I think, if you're New England. And then there is the, is there another Stephon Gilmore that we can get for $2 or $3 million less per year? And as we've seen this year with a lot of teams, you know, like I've mentioned with a rap sheet, like the Giants went to, like, I guess it was like an, just a regular Joe on their roster. And they did something just to create $300,000 in space. Like, that's how much up against it some of these teams are. Hey, I know we mentioned it with Rap Sheet as well. Are you worried about Duggar, Taylor, COVID issues, anything like that? I mean, in all honesty, the fact that the bye is around the corner, this might be another thing that turns up Patriots.
Yeah, I am a little worried about no Duggar potentially in the game on Monday because Duggar's been great. He's been playing a lot. He's had a nice year two impact, and you're talking about some of the guys, not that, you know, Buffalo can run it a lot, but Dawson Knox has been a really good tight end for him. So yeah, I would definitely like to have Duggar out there. They're gonna miss him. I think Buffalo's offense is gonna feel pretty good about that one. Obviously JJ Taylor, guy hasn't been on the field, that one doesn't really matter. You hope that, you know, this sort of stays contained. But Duggar, no, he's an impact player.
I'm with you on that. The Duggar thing, it makes me at least a little nervous. The Patriots and the Bills are going to play on Monday night, and I don't know if you saw that this game has been Russini'd.
Oh, no, so they're not going to play?
No, the statement from her was, this is the game of the year in the NFL.
In the NFL?
In the that's right, game of the year.
Did she miss Patriots and Bucks from week four?
I heard the comment and didn't decide to dig in because I know
the team that we need to put back up on the board that we're all walking away from is New England.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, this is a big game. It's a big game. It's not the game of the year.
But they play again in a couple of weeks. I don't know if anybody clued her in.
That'll be the second game of the year.
That's right. There you go. Second biggest game of the year.
Well, rematch. The game was so good they scheduled it twice.
Now, you and I have, through Andrew Callahan of the Herald, who was the one that really did the investigative work on this, when Bill Belichick talks about opposing quarterbacks, there's some code going on with Bill B. Hoodsworth as to what he really means when he's talking about certain players. Here was Bill Belichick yesterday talking about Bill's quarterback, Josh Allen.
His improvement has just been tremendous from, you know, where it was 3 years ago. Completion percentage, passer rating, decision making, production. It's just risen at a really remarkable rate. It's just remarkable how good he has become. But he's really made, you know, tremendous improvement. And, you know, has a lot of command of the offense. They audible a lot. They change things. They obviously have a lot of confidence in him. He handles them well on the line. Where they run into, you know, a bad look or a blitz or something like that. He doesn't get fooled much by anything. It's really, really impressive to watch how he's developed there.
So we didn't get can make all the throws.
No. He definitely seems to be sold on him. And again, as somebody who has faced him twice a year his entire career, this guy has, there might be players in NFL history that have improved as much as him. I can't imagine much more. So his first year, and he was a high draft pick and everything else, but he's raw. Like, he's talented, but he's raw. And it was pretty ugly. Like, he was completing like 50% of his passes, a couple more picks than touchdowns. Not that that's not, other rookie quarterbacks don't do that. We're seeing a whole bunch of rookie quarterbacks struggle right now. But to go from, in the span of just 3 years, a bottom five quarterback to a top five quarterback, that's pretty crazy. And that's what he's done in 3 years. And he took a step forward. Year two was much better than year one, but there's still a big room for improvement. And then last year, I think he was runner-up in the MVP, and his team was 13-3. So, yeah, he has gotten significantly better, while other quarterbacks we've seen have some have gotten a little bit worse, some have just kind of maintained since they've gotten into the league. But now he's gotten better every year. This year is way more similar to last year. This is has not been another leap forward, but I don't even know if there was another leap forward to take based on the numbers he had last year.
Well, I think it's really about that consistency, right? Because when we think of the real greats, like the guys right now that you would say, okay, these guys are destined for, you know, whatever, Hall of Fame, legendary status, whatever it is, and you think about Brady and Rodgers, and as much as I'm not the biggest Patrick Mahomes guy, the guy on the whole plays, you know, pretty spectacular football. But he sat for a year, which is pretty crazy to think about as well. But you're right. Like, Allen's improvement has been, it was a meteoric rise. And now it's the, okay, can you prove you're really great by being consistent? And I do think that, I don't want to say regardless of what the numbers say, I think this is a situation with the Bills because it's been forever since they've won on a high level that the win-loss record probably gets held against someone like a Josh Allen more than, say, other quarterbacks because you're waiting for Buffalo to finally break through the glass ceiling and get back to the Super Bowl. Because if the Patriots go up there and get a win on Monday night and Josh Allen is 7-5, I think the narrative, just like it has with Mac, it started to change. It might change a little bit with Allen in terms of the, is he good or is he great? Well, that's where the win-loss gets tied in.
It does, but I think, again, you talk about, you know, each year making those improvements, but there was such a gap where they were so bad. Like, they were so bad for so long. His second year, even though he wasn't putting up gaudy numbers, they were 10-6 and made the playoffs.
That's right, and they had that, like, 7-6 game in Houston or 10-9 or something like that.
No, it was higher
was that
score
maybe
than
the next year?
No, you're thinking of the Tyrod Taylor Jaguars game. They had that one-off game there. No, but this was the game against the Texans that was just, it was gross. It was a horrible game. But then last year they take a big step forward. I think for them, especially because there's only one first-round bye, like, I think if there was two, there'd be much more of a, all right, if you're really one of these elite teams, you got to get that. But as long as the Bills make the playoffs, they can't get bounced in the first round. I think it looks like, all right, this team is legit. They're going to be at least an AFC contender for a little bit. And I think at this point, they've kind of done that. But I do agree with Ian Rapoport where he's like, this game matters more to the Bills. Even though the guy's only 25, they have a more established quarterback. They're the reigning division champs. They should win, and they're at home. Like that, like add that into it as well. They should win the game, but I don't think they will.
And the win-loss record for the Bills might be more important from the standpoint of, you think of the Josh Allen development, you think of the continuity they've had. Like, the Bills finally got it right in that they've stuck with a coach. They've allowed him to put in a system. They put in a program, so to speak. And you got Brian Daboll out there. I think if the Bills lose, say they lose in the wild card round, that would actually help Brian Daboll get a job because then he'd be able to put a staff together in a normal amount of time that an organization looking for a coach would want. So I wonder if even if you make it to the divisional round, let alone an AFC championship game again, if you're, believe it or not, losing in the wild card round, does that actually help a guy like Daboll leave? And then what kind of effect does that have on Allen and the continuity up there? So to your point on this being a big game for the Bills, when you think about where this could all be going, like how many years is Brian Daboll going to be a candidate for a job before he finally takes one? 617-779-7937. The perfect lineup is...
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Next.
Or Crash and Keith right now on WEEI.
Your team got a problem, yo, he'll solve it. Winston Wolf for this fantasy gauntlet. So pretty pleased with sugar on it. Check out the hook walk.
Crash!
Keith's gonna give you the info you desire. Who to claim from the waiver wire? So your lineup game is on fire. Put him on the board.
Championship!
You're definitely gonna win your league, but you gotta listen to Ritz Keith.
And Crash!
Fin the fantasy to see!
My fantasy team is 1-4. Jeez.
Time for the perfect lineup presented by Miller Lite. When it's game time, it's Miller time. And, well, we try to help you win in weekly fantasy and daily fantasy. And Shime is apparently playing the role of Bob Puker today. So it's Keith and I, and really, it's just Keith taking you through the perfect lineup.
It is, although I did consult with Scrim. He was able to fire off a couple of texts, so we came together for this perfect lineup, week 13. Again, the 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock games on Sunday only. So let's begin. Our quarterback, we're going with Derek Carr. And the main reason is the Raiders are taking on the football team who have given up the most points to fantasy quarterbacks this season. Even Russell Wilson was able to score a little bit, the injured Russell Wilson against football teams. We're going with Derek Carr as our quarterback. Running backs, Joe Mixon from the Cincinnati Bengals, who has had a great year. I mean, he might be, I guess you got Jonathan Taylor there, so, but he might be an all-pro candidate. He's been great, and going up against the Chargers this week, who have given up a bunch of points to running backs.
This is a big week, I think, for Mixon in terms of getting some of those superlatives, as you mentioned. He's had an amazing year, but it's kind of flying under the radar a little bit because of guys like Jonathan Taylor and the injury to Derrick Henry.
Absolutely, and that's a huge game, too, Chargers and Bengals, just for the AFC playoff race as well. Our other running back, Elijah Mitchell from the San Francisco 49ers, taking on the Seahawks. Again, it's a bad Seahawks team all the way around. They've actually given up the most running back fantasy points this year. So their offense has been a mess. Their defense, certainly against running backs, has been a mess. And so has their record, surprisingly enough. So Elijah Mitchell as our running back. All right, our first receiver, we're going to stack with Derek Carr. We're going Hunter Renfrow versus football team. Now with you know, some of the injuries there, no Darren Waller. Obviously, now several weeks since Henry Ruggs is off the team. Renfrow just gets a pile of targets. Renfrow gets catches, targets. He was great on that Thanksgiving game, and I think he'll continue that the rest of the year, especially against this good matchup.
Actually, he's been traded for Jackie Bradley Jr.
Both Hunter Renfrow's better than Jackie Bradley Jr.
Agreed.
Wide receiver number two, Michael Pittman Jr. The Indianapolis Colts are taking on the Houston Texans. This is the Colts need this one for sure, especially with the Patriots game coming up in a week. Colts want to stay in the mix. They're going to need this one. Our third wide receiver, Russell Gage from the Atlanta Falcons, taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We certainly expect the Tampa Bay Bucs to win this game, but the only way to score points against the Bucs is to throw. We almost had Matt Ryan even as the quarterback. We ended up going with Derek Carr, but Russell Gage should be of course, Kyle Pitts is still there, one of the top targets for Ryan this week, so we like Gage. Our tight end, Dallas Goedert, Philadelphia Eagles against the New York Jets. That's a nice little matchup there against the New York Jets.
That is a great matchup against the Jets for them, and I know Philadelphia has been up and down and in and out and helter-skelter and all that, but you got to think that the Jets are going to give it up big to Goedert.
I would think so. They still got to be in the mix, Philadelphia, for a playoff spot. I know it was a tough loss to the Giants last week, but at 5-7,
I don't know. They're all about the same. All the seven seeds in the NFC are all about the same to me.
More likely, Philly to the playoffs or Philly to get Deshaun Watson?
Does Watson want to go there?
Let's just assume that he does.
Then I think they would, the way they've gone through quarterbacks there, I think they would go after Watson. I think they're probably a better chance. Because, again, with when you're picking the Eagles to make the playoffs, there's like five other teams all jumbled around there, so the odds aren't in your favor at all. All right, our flex spot, we're going to go with Jamal Williams, the Detroit running back, against Minnesota. The Vikings, although a tough team, they've played pretty well. They've given up a lot of rushing yards and points to running back. So go Jamal Williams at home in that one. And then our defense, San Francisco 49ers against the Seattle Seahawks. These two teams are going in different directions. Seattle, we talked about Russell Wilson. He was one of our stayaways yesterday, along with DK Metcalf. Meanwhile, San Francisco, even though this game is in Seattle, San Fran's got that winning record now. They've been playing better on both sides of the ball. Their defense has gotten tougher, so we'll take that one against Seattle. So there you go, your Week 13 perfect lineup.
And that's more of an anti-Seattle pick than it is a pro 49ers pick. That's more situational and getting good value there.
That's what, second
49ers
half
can't pass rush, man.
No, they can't. In second half of the season, that's usually my strategy. I think it's mine a little bit more than Shime's, is rather than what player I really like, I'm just looking at the opponent more so and saying, all right, they've been giving up so many points all year long. Like, Derek Carr's not the greatest quarterback in the world, and the Raiders' offense isn't the greatest. But against football team, I happen to really like it. So, yeah, there you go. Best of luck to everybody this weekend.
All right, there it is. The perfect lineup to help you win this week in Daily Fantasy. Are the Red Sox set for success while MLB is a mess and the latest just crap from Major League Commissioner, MLB Commissioner, excuse me, Rob Manfred? That's next.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.